of 108 at WILK, 29 degrees on this Thursday afternoon. Just like most people, we're concerned about our tax money, how it's spent. And I recently read a piece from Open the Books regarding the amount of money the government spends on each and every person in the United States of America. The figure is astonishing to me. And here to give us more clarity on the issue is Jeremy Portnoy, investigative journalist from Open the Books. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Sue. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm glad that you agreed to come back on the show today.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me back.
Absolutely. So I was thumbing through my email and I came across a story regarding the federal government and their spending per person. And I refused to tell the audience what that figure is because I wanted you to break it to them as gently as humanly possible. And then maybe explain a little bit about how that figure is derived.
So we found that this year, in fiscal year 2025, the government spent $20,474 per person currently in the United States. Now, for some context, that's the highest spending has ever been, except for the couple of years during the COVID-19 pandemic. Even adjusted for inflation, we went all the way back to 1915. Spending right now per person is about double what it was at the height of World War II, and it's higher than at any other point in U.S. history, except for 2020 to 2022.
Your headline says it's 98 times more than in 1916.
Exactly. You go all the way back to 1916, spending was just over $200 per person in the country, even adjusted for inflation. But it's just continued to grow and grow. And a lot of that has been for, you know, Social Security and Medicare and services that people rely on. But a lot of it's just been to pay interest on our debt and keep borrowing money that we don't have. Now we're at the point where for the average family of four, the government is spending $82,000 of your tax dollars per year, which is likely more than you're spending on your mortgage, much more than you're spending on your groceries, probably more than you're spending to send your kids to college for a year. That's how much your government services are costing every single year.
This is beyond belief. And of course, you do talk about the debt. And that's another factor, obviously, that nobody has been able to kind of get a handle on, put it in check, take it seriously. Jeremy, I've heard people say, this debt doesn't even really matter. It's a figure on paper. Who cares? What can it mean in the future if it's not brought to heel, so to speak?
So this year, roughly 15% of government spending was just for interest on our debt. And if this debt continues to get larger and larger, that'll go up to 20% or 25% and higher and higher until suddenly there's not much money for other government services because we need to spend it all paying back debt. And the only way to fix it would be to raise taxes higher and higher until eventually it could become unsustainable. We'd have incredible inflation all around the country that could potentially crash the economy if we don't get this under control.
And this isn't a matter of if, right? This is kind of a matter of when, isn't it?
Exactly. This debt keeps getting higher and higher. This year, the government had to borrow $1.8 trillion because it spent more money than it actually had in its proverbial bank account. And that was the same exact amount as last year. There was no difference, really, between the Biden administration into the Trump administration. Government spending increased under Trump so far, and the federal deficit was exactly the same as it was last year.
In terms of where, besides the debt money, where else? I mean, because you're looking at this stuff all the time, and you're always you have your eyes on spending by our government. Where else do you think this can be tamped down a little bit and made less worrisome? I know we're always going to have to spend money, and I would imagine that for some, we spend more money on some people than we do on others, right?
Right. Well, the last time the government actually had a balanced budget was back in fiscal year 2001 under Bill Clinton. Since then, we've always spent more money than we actually had. So it's really a matter of returning to that level, right? eventually there's going to need to be some changes made to Social Security and Medicare, which is an uncomfortable topic, but likely that will be the only way to balance the budget in the future. So it's a matter of making those changes. It's a matter of, you know, we've seen increases in funding to the Department of Defense, for example, but only 25% of that money actually goes to the active military. So perhaps there's cuts to be made there. But over time, we're talking about so many billions of dollars that need to be cut to balance this budget because we're just so far away from spending a sustainable amount.
Yeah. And when you talk about that, Jeremy, somebody's going to have to be the villain in this. All right. And I know they can't do it in a vacuum. How can we? I mean, here we are in a world where we have a vast amount of adversaries. So you think, well, how can it be from the Department of Defense? Or when you even raise the specter of what you just raised, I mean, it shuts down everything. I don't know anybody who seemingly has the political fortitude to get this done. And if they said it out loud before they got in office, they might not be elected.
Exactly. I think you really hit on the problem, Sue. If you're running for office and you go up there and you say, I'm going to cut your Social Security and Medicare, and I'm going to cut our defense funding, your campaign's not going to last very long, unfortunately. But the hard reality is that over the next 100 years, Social Security and Medicare are underfunded by $175 trillion, which is an insane number. That's more money than currently exists in the entire United States. So it's unfortunately not a matter of if those cuts are going to have to be made. It's a matter of when. And the sooner we start to examine the budget and reduce the spending so that we're not spending $80,000 per family of four in the United States, the sooner we can bring that budget under control and make sure that future generations don't feel these catastrophic impacts.
In terms of any kind of discretionary spending, which are obviously we know these take up large chunks of federal spending. We know that. And some people say, Jeremy, that some of the other stuff is kind of like window dressing. Oh, it's a spit in the ocean. Oh, it really doesn't matter. Can you point to anywhere where, besides these two things, that we can cut other stuff out?
The Department of Defense is definitely a big one. We could expand on that a bit. If you look at their budget breakdown, only 25% of their budget goes to what's called active forces. 50% of the military budget is for operations and maintenance. So that's people sitting behind desk jobs, you know, administrative work. And then at the end of the year, we often see them embark on what we call use it or lose it spending sprees, where they try and use up their budget on flat screen TVs and lobster tail dinners just because they have the money and they can use it. So again, those are small cuts that wouldn't go all the way towards fully balancing the budget, but it is a place to start. Many federal agencies where it's a similar story.
Absolutely. Now, yesterday I saw that Elon Musk, the Doge father, as he was known for a while, talked about his foray into the federal government. And he sounded so defeated, Jeremy. He sounded like he never should have done it. And I'm kind of paraphrasing with that. He said it would have been a much better use of his time to actually have spent it with his companies. To say this is almost like a fool's errand. Do you think that it's impossible due to whatever they talk about, the swamp or just the institutions themselves who are so entrenched at, well, we've always done it this way. I mean, is it possible for somebody to come along and actually make some headway in this regard?
It's possible. It's just going to be a long process. Doge's goal was to balance the entire federal budget relatively quickly. And unfortunately, it's not going to be like next year, all of a sudden our $1.8 trillion deficit is suddenly gone. But if we make sustainable changes over the next decade, two decades, we can get to the point where we have a balanced budget. So that might not be, you know, Doge sometimes had the approach of coming in and, you know, taking a giant axe to things and cutting entire programs. It might take a little longer of really examining what changes are sustainable and can last through future administrations, because there needs to be a real precedent that's set in Congress. It can't just be cut this program for 1 year, then we have a new president that's elected and brings the program back and spending is up again. It needs to be something that can really set a precedent going forward.
Do you think that the Trump administration is interested or concerned or is willing to give it a try? I know that the president has only been back in office for less than a year. And some people have said, listen, this is a holy mess. Do you think there's any intention within the administration and also Congress to get something done at all?
Verbally, they've been making promises that they want to cut spending. That's what Trump's campaign was built on. But so far, the numbers on paper just haven't reflected that. Spending did increase right after Trump took office. And then this July, we had to borrow $573 billion in July alone to cover all of expenses, all of his expenses. That was the most the government ever borrowed in a single month, aside from the beginning of the pandemic. So far, it just hasn't been happening. There's a bit of tariff revenue coming in, but it's already been spent on the Department of Defense and Department of Veterans Affairs, so that revenue won't make much of a difference unless something changes going forward.
Don't be discouraged, though, Jeremy. Continue to do what you do and at least make us aware of what's happening, because sometimes I feel as though these things are kind of glossed over and nobody realizes what's happening. So I hope that you and the rest of the team at Open the Books continue to bring us the kind of provocative stuff that you've tell us. So thank you for this, even though it's depressing right before the holidays.
I'm sorry to dampen your mood, but well, I do very much appreciate you having me on the show.
Hey, at least we know you're on the up and up and you're very honest about your work. So thanks for that. All right, it's 1:20 at WILK. We'll take a break. We'll be back.